I know that Satan's hunting me. I know the world is out for me. I know that he will tempt me to dabble. So I know there's gonna be a battle. So I put on my armor and I pick up my sword and I go into battle. I know he will protect me, and I know he will guide me, and I know he's always with me, and I know he will fight for me. So I put on my armor and I pick up my sword and I go into battle with the one that rules the world. 'Cause I know he will protect me, and I know he will guide me, and I know he's always with me, and I know the glasses of purity. I bound my eyes and I never look back. 'Cause I know he will protect me, and I know he will guide me, and I know he's always with me. I know will fight for me. I know he will protect me. I know he will guide me, and I know he's always with me, and I know
Well, good morning. It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. We begin our service by singing the doxology, which is found in the red hymnal, number 549. The doxology, number 549. Is hymn number 713. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments." Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 480, "Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us." 480, "Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us." You. And Lord, you know of the needs that we have in our lives, the challenges that we are facing, the things that are interfering with God in terms of how we should be living and how we want to live. And Lord, we come before you with the physical needs, the emotional needs, the financial needs, and the spiritual needs. And Lord, we lay them all before you right now. And God, as we pray for ourselves, you remind us through the presence of your Spirit in our lives to pray for others. And Lord, we pray for family members. We pray for friends. We pray for patients throughout this medical center, staff that is working here today, of the family members that will be visiting. Lord, we lift them all up to you in prayer. And God, we'd ask that in the same way that we are praying for ourselves, Lord, we pray for them as well to meet their needs that they have in their own individual lives. And Lord, we just want to say praise you and thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you. We do not take it for granted. And Lord, we just want to thank all the servicemen and women of this great nation that has given us this opportunity to freely worship you on this Sunday morning here in this chapel. And we praise you for them. Lord, we'd ask that you would be with the family members as well, as they too have endured the many sacrifices and support that they've given to all those that have served. And Lord, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 416, I Was Sinking Deep in Sin. Number 416, I Was Sinking Deep in Sin. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waves and lifted me, nothing am I. Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await, by faith, the righteousness which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we just thank you for this time of worship that we've had. And Lord, we just praise you. I would ask that you would help me to say those things that we all need to hear so that we can have a better life with you and a better life with each other. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this last week I had an opportunity to take a little trip and went to London, England. And one of the places that we visited there was Westminster Cathedral there. I don't know if any of you has ever been there before, but my first time that I've been there, and I really enjoyed the sights of London. And what was interesting about being at Westminster is they have plaques for everybody and everything. Some people are buried there, some people are not, but they have plaques there to remember certain people throughout the history of Great Britain. And it was always interesting to see all these different, how should I say, memorials to people that have been part of Great Britain's history. And so I thought about myself when I thought about what legacy am I going to leave behind? And maybe you've thought about that too every once in a while. What are people going to remember about me? Is it going to be some kind of plaque on a wall? Is it going to be on a tombstone? Are they going to make a statue for me? I don't think any of that's going to happen for me. Well, maybe something on a tombstone. I hope you didn't mind. And but I thought about the legacy. And what legacy do we leave? And really, the true legacy about who we are is not whether the world recognizes us for doing something great or being a wonderful author or doing something scientific. And there were all these type of memorials to those type of people. There were military memorials. There were people of science that were being remembered. There were people of literature that were being remembered in Westminster Cathedral. But I think the one thing that we need to understand is within our own legacy, what people are going to remember about us is how we interacted with them and how we truly did love them. And we've seen a lot about love already this morning in the scriptures that we read in the call to worship, where Jesus specifically tells the Pharisees what's important and the commandments in terms of loving God and then loving each other and the neighbor as yourself. And we have read together the scripture from Galatians that specifically talks about the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And we have sang hymns expressing the importance of love. And that really is, in essence, our legacy. People will remember us in terms of how we loved them and how we showed love to the world in which we are part of. But I think more important than that, is when we think about how we should live each day, God reminds us through the presence of His Spirit that as followers of Jesus Christ, as we live by faith, that love is an example. The love that we have for each other is an example of the faith that we have in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I get distracted every day with different things that come into my life, different interests that I have. And I forget about the fact that a lot of times what really truly matters is how we love each other in our faith in Christ. As simple as though it may seem, I would say to you that it is sometimes the most simplest things for us to do is the most difficult. But all we have to do is to live our lives by faith, by demonstrating the love that Christ has for us individually and showing that same Christ-like love to others. For you and I are no longer under the law. You and I are under grace. The grace that really is hard for us to understand in terms of the forgiveness of the things that we have done wrong, But yet that grace is there for us, for you and for me, and it is expressed in that love that Christ has for us. But for us, individually, the only way that we can express that is truly having the faith that God wants us to have in love with one another. So you and I are not governed by the law in terms of the different things, in terms of the law of Moses, as is being talked about here in the scriptures. You and I are supposed to be no longer dominated by the things in our life that easily besets us in terms of our own desires, our own carnal desires that we want to fulfill. That you and I are not controlled, or not supposed to be controlled, by the world that is around us and the ideas that the world gives us in terms of how we should be living. The only thing that should be reflective in our life is our commitment to Christ. And that commitment to Christ needs to be a faithful one. For the fact when we look to the cross, we see Christ on the cross in terms of his death, but not just his death, the death that bore your sin and my sin, but we also see through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and then later on, his ascension, which actually gives us the life that God wants us to have. For Christ has faithfully loved you and me, and Christ has faithfully given himself for you and for me. And within that faithfulness, you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we should have that same faith that Christ has. For you and I have received Christ. You and I have asked Christ to come into our lives, to be part of that relationship that God has always intended us for us to have through his Son. And we live that life, and it should be lived through a life that is expressed in love. And it doesn't mean it happens easily. Once again, the most simple things that we should do in life are probably the most difficult. But God wants us to live that faith in love. And it's based on the love that God has for us. It's based on the offer of salvation that demonstrates the love that God has for you and me. It's based on the sacrifice that took place through Christ's death on the cross. And is it experiencing that love when we come to know Christ and we feel and we see and we understand the work of the Spirit in our lives? And part of that requires us to have a life that at times needs to be disciplined. We need to say yes to our yes, and we need to say no to our no, because it gives us a life in terms of that reflects the love that God has for us. The things that we struggle with, our desire to take care of ourselves and ourselves only, to be self-indulgent in life. And God tells us that that's not the way for us to live. For us to truly live reflecting of the faith that we have in Christ is we need to have a disciplined commitment to serving each other. And that is hard to do, isn't it? To put others in front of ourselves when we want to take care of those things that we want for ourselves. But when we have a commitment of our desire to serve others and to serve others before ourselves, there's a sense of peace and satisfaction and fulfillment that we never had experienced before. And I would encourage you to do that, to do those little things that really show that you're putting someone else in front of you in terms of serving them. And many times it's not the big things, it's the little things that we do. It's the little gestures in terms of us saying, you know what, I'm going to not have my way in this particular situation, but I'm going to serve others. I'm going to do something for someone else today. I want to share with someone else today before I take care of my own personal needs. And there is a sense of satisfaction there. There's a sense of understanding that as we are serving, that there is something greater than ourselves in our lives. And we are demonstrating the love that God wants us to have to each other. We are saying to each other that I truly want to be that example of faith. I truly want to have that freedom in Christ. I truly want to be set free from those things that I feel that I am in bondage to. I want to be free in Christ in all that I do and all that I say. And when we do that, we see and we understand truly who our neighbor is. And we truly are able to love God the way that God wants us to love. And then we see within our own lives the practical aspects of living in faith in Christ. The life that we understand that as we set ourselves aside, that we can truly be in spirit and in truth with God. We can see how interested we are in others. And when we are interested in others, we're not so interested in ourselves. And when we become so obsessed with ourselves, we can't see anything else other than ourselves. And we don't have the right vision, the right understanding, the right way to make the decisions that God wants us to make, because we're already interested in ourselves and ourselves only. And then when we set ourselves aside, we see that commitment and wanting to help others. And what a joy that is to see other people successful instead of our own success. And then we find ourselves making the things that God wants us to make in our lives to show and to demonstrate to others. And then we begin to stop making those comparisons to other people's lives. As I told you at Westminster, I was looking at the different plaques on the wall and I'm thinking, wow, I'm not going to be as successful as this person, or I'm not going to write a great book like this person did, or I'm not going to have some kind of scientific discovery as this person did, or I'm not going to be some type of war hero where I was able to save a bunch of people. And I found myself making those comparisons. And I found myself looking at my life and I'm like, well, I must be some kind of failure because my name is never going to be here. It's never going to be on a plaque on a wall. But you see, those are the kind of comparisons that God does not want us to make. Because that's what God's love is not about. He knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows the different struggles that we've had in life. He knows the challenges that we have been facing. He knows the things that we've tried to overcome. And He loves you. And He loves me. In the same way that He loves everybody else. And it's in that relationship that we see that God wants us to have that kindness. Understanding the opportunities that we have to do each other good. Maybe it's just a friendly smile. Maybe it's just a handshake. Maybe it's purchasing something for somebody that can be very small to say, here, I got this for you. It's those little things that we do. It's the opportunities that we need to have just to show and reflect the love that God wants us to have. And it can be with perfect strangers. It can be with people that we only would meet once in our lifetime, but showing and demonstrating that kindness, doing what God wants us to do in the faith that we have in Christ. Because really, our lives is summed up in this one legacy, and it is this. It is what we are doing right now. It is the life that we're living right now. It's not what we have done in the past. It's not what we're going to do in the future. The life that God gives us is right now in the present. And we make a choice. We make a decision in terms of how we want to live that life right now in the present. And that truly is where our legacy needs to be. Is in the present moment, in our desire to serve God as best as we possibly can, to use the talents and the abilities and the gifts that God has given us, to use our personality, to use our life experiences to show others in the same way that God loves us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you can be loved too as well. So that legacy is not written in stone somewhere, on a wall or on a statue. That legacy is written in our hearts. A legacy is written in our minds. The legacy of our lives is written in the present in terms of how we show and demonstrate in faith believing what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we go to communion, just want to let you know that we have open communion here in the chapel. And what that means is if you have a personal relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, you're welcome to have communion with us. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have reminded us that the legacy that we have is at the cross of Christ. And how we take the cross of Christ and apply it to our everyday lives in the present moment that you've given us. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for that reminder today for me. And it is my hope and prayer that others have been reminded as well, is that the legacy that we have is right now in the moment that we have with you in faith believing in your love for us. And God, I would ask that you would forgive me for the things in which I was making unfair comparisons about my life, feeling that it didn't amount to much, feeling that it wasn't very successful, thinking about and reflecting about all the mistakes that I've made in my life. But God, you have said, I'm not comparing you to others. I'm looking to you and the love that I have for you. And I know, God, that you're looking in the same way to each and every one of us here. Not comparing us to others, but just examining the love that we have for the presence of your Spirit in our lives. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and loving us the way we are this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn is number 393. Years I spent in vanity and pride. 393. Years I spent in vanity and pride, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. My God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty. Brought it down to men. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did spend at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary.
Let us pray.
Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have given us that legacy in our lives every day that you want us to show to others, a legacy of love that you've given us and how we demonstrate it to others in faith believing. And God, allow us and strengthen us to live that legacy every day. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, who leads me into life.
Sing along with me.
Bless the Lord, my soul, and bless God's holy name. Bless